afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Well, this is one of my favorite days because I get to have some of my favorite people on the show with me. Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley join us about once a month, but because of mostly my schedule, we've been missing each other. I've had guest hosts in the saddle when Smalley's have been on, so this feels like a reunion to me. I'm so excited to get them on. Today we'll be talking about four spiritual disciplines every marriage needs. I want you to know we've got a stack of Smalley resources that are sitting right in front of me. One of them is Great Parents, Lousy Lovers by Gary Smalley and Ted Cunningham. Got two copies of Aaron's amazing book, Grown Up Girlfriends, and one copy of The Wholehearted Marriage by Dr. Greg Smalley and his buddy Sean Stover, I think his name is. So email me if you want in on the drawing, and you can just include your mailing address. We'll put you in the general drawing, unless you are really drawn to one of these specific books, like Grown Up Girlfriends, all right? Great Parents, Lousy Lovers, or Wholehearted Marriage. Maybe make mention of that. That would help me out as well. Susie at myfaithradio.com. And don't forget your mailing address. So you've been hearing about our upcoming writers' conference. We're super excited about it. Well, I want you to know those limited one-on-one appointments are going fast. So be sure to register now at NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Schedule your one-on-one appointment with a faculty member today. We're so excited about it. Need you to know, too, that scholarships are available for the conference, and you can learn more about that by visiting the scholarship section under the About tab on the website. Here it is again, Northwestern Christian Writers Conference.com. That's not to be confused with our annual writers contest. And here's the thing, the winners this year of our contest, which is going on right now, it's in full swing, will win the registration for the conference. So if you want information on the contest, know this. First of all, it's about the passage Micah 6:8, what God requires of you to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. So we want you to write a fiction or nonfiction piece. We're taking submissions now. Voting is open now. So this is the time to get on our website for more information, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. Erin is a program director at Focus, and she's an author and speaker based in Colorado Springs, as is Greg. They've both written lots of books. They work together doing marriage intensives and seminars. They live in Colorado Springs. They've got three daughters, Taylor Murphy and Annie, and son Garrison. And they've got an influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Greg and Aaron, welcome back to the program.
What a joy and pleasure. It is a reunion.
It is.
We just felt like you didn't like us anymore.
Oh, well.
Or me. I felt like you didn't like me anymore.
Connected with Susie over the past months.
Yeah, you don't you don't write, Greg. I don't know what's wrong with you. So good back to be with you guys. And I don't think we've talked since your daughter's wedding, if I remember right. Wow. Lots has happened.
What a journey. Yeah, she's been married now a year.
Let's go with a month.
Yes.
Same thing.
And it honestly, it could not have been a more picture perfect day, and everything just fell into place. Mm. And she wanted snow, but not a lot of snow, just a little snow. And literally we got just a light dusting that morning, and her pictures are absolutely gorgeous.
Wow. I can't wait to see them. Well, congratulations.
And
Aaron texted me the speech, Murphy giving this amazing speech, and I thought, this is not just a tribute to her sister. It's a tribute to God and a tribute to you two, her parents, just the way that she honored all of you. It was really spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was so fun to see Murphy do that. I think, though, one of my very favorite memories, because I got to do the ceremony. So I got to officiate. And so, thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, I'm helping him with words.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. She's mouthing words at me, much like my favorite memory was Annie, who was a junior bridesmaid. So I'm up there. I'm officiating Taylor and her new husband, Caleb, right there at this, critical part. I think we're about to do the ring exchange. And Annie, who's standing there, gets my attention, like she's waving at me.
Oh.
And so my eyes lock onto her eyes, and I'm like, yeah. And so she mouths, clearly, she goes, "I'm bored."
Oh.
and this is
your problem.
Because I'm like, does other people feel bored? What am I saying that's so boring?
I was sound asleep in the front row. I mean.
Aaron's drooling. Annie's a wreck. Yeah. So they hand me. So that threw me.
Oh,
and
my
so
word.
Right at that moment, I'm saying, so let me please have the rings. And so, you know, the best band, you know, in Murphy, they hand me the rings and I drop them.
Oh, my goodness.
And they just go rolling right off the whole stage. So
well,
I don't know what that means.
You came through for Annie.
Omen.
It got instantly exciting.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I spiced it up for Annie.
Exactly. That's right.
You're welcome.
You know, you can never get a big head over everything you do when you have someone like Annie going, I know you're speaking and I know it's a wedding, but I'm bored out of my mind right now.
It was like, it's like 10 minutes into the whole thing. I'm like, what, you know, apparently I need to be more like Nickelodeon or Disney and keep it going quick.
Oh, that's the best. Well, we digress. So tell me this. Do you have a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
Yeah, based on what we want to talk about, Joshua 24:15, which we've all heard many times. I love it. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And I'd love to get into just how, although I love the verse and I agree with it wholeheartedly, how hard that is and how oftentimes I feel so failed in that charge.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What about you, Aaron?
My verse is 2 Peter 3:18. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, as Greg is saying, we definitely have taken on a new level of challenge of really digging into God's word, both individually and together. And, you know, the importance of just that foundation. You know, we are so inundated with, you know, podcasts and books and lectures and sermons and, you know, but really I've been really intentionally, I love all that stuff, especially yours, Susie, but really, you know, just getting back to being in God's word.
Amen.
First and foremost, and really growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus.
You know, I was just thinking the other day as I was driving in the car, Greg, just very much what you'd said about, you know, it's one thing to say and to, as you say, Aaron, too, to hear sermons and podcasts, to sing it, to even preach it with passion. It's a whole other thing to live it. You know, when you're in the privacy of your home and you're tempted towards despair or fear or discouragement, or you're just plopped in the middle of a misunderstanding or whatever it is, to engage your faith and to say, in this place, I'm going to serve God. In this place, I'm going to die to myself. In this place, I'm going to extend myself grace and others grace. That's far easier said and sung about than it is done, wouldn't you say?
It is. One of my colleagues, we were literally within, I think it happened yesterday, we were just sitting in my office talking, and this is a man that I respect, not just for his high intellect, just his amazing business acumen, but this is a man that loves the Lord and is faithful in pursuing God. And to hear him talk about how hard that is to be the spiritual leader within his family at times. And we just had this really great conversation. And it's an area that I know that's my role, that's my job, to be the spiritual head of our home. And yet there's so many times where I just think, man, I'm doing the worst job. And again, I know that that's part of the evil one, that's part of the lie, that's part of the spiritual warfare that goes on. But I think for a lot of guys, it's hard to know, how do we really live out that Joshua verse? How do I lead my family well in serving God? Because it's hard.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before, but I think it bears repeating for whoever's listening that never heard that conversation before. But it seems like it would be more doable. I think the enemy leverages constantly our not enoughness against us, constantly. I feel like for men it would be more doable if we as women could break the stereotype that we have this impossible picture of what spiritual leadership looks like. And if men could maybe embrace the grace that it's going to look unique to you, to your gift set, and God's not asking something of you that he's not put in you. You know what I'm saying? And if there could be a permission for you to walk it out in a way that fits who you are, I feel like that then the yoke would feel more doable. You know, what do you think, Aaron?
Yes, and you know, it's interesting. I was just at lunch yesterday with a girlfriend, and she gave me a letter that she is going to give to her husband, and it was it had a lot to do with his spiritual leadership in their home. And it was fun because I have never had the opportunity, you know, since we've really been digging into what does this look like and are women allowing our men to really lead? Because typically what we do is we step in and take over. Well, if you're not doing it, then I'll do it. And not recognizing what he is doing versus what he's not and what your expectation is. And so my girlfriend and I had a great conversation about it yesterday, and we both walked away so challenged and so encouraged. And, you know, it is so true that our men are going to lead, and it's going to look differently for each of them. And how do we encourage their natural tendencies, their natural giftings, their spiritual love language in many ways? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do we support that and encourage them to continue to grow as this spiritual head instead of expecting, you know, the first week of marriage that it's going to be, you know, a certain way?
Yeah. And that expecting we come in. That they play guitar and want to walk through a Beth Moore Bible study. And I love Beth Moore, but I mean, that, you know, we have this impossible standard. And, you know, Greg, I just wonder what it would feel like to you to think about the Father's love and affection for you. He's so, so proud of you. He loves the way he made you, loves your humor. And he has assigned a yoke to you that you can carry. He delights when you turn towards your wife and your kids. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what does that do in your heart when you start to function out of the Father's love versus being driven by the enemy's constant taunts of not enoughness?
Well, I think there's something powerful when your heart is exposed to truth.
Yeah.
So on one hand, the lie is that I'm a failure. The lie is that I've messed up my kids spiritually, my wife spiritually. In encountering truth, as you guys talked, there's a peace. It helps me just to relax. It doesn't make me feel like there's this perfect way to do it and it's got to look this way. I still, though, it's no one necessarily teaches us how to do this as a man. Mm-hmm. How do you lead your family? How do you do this as a couple? And Aaron and I really, over the last month or so, have really been digging into, yeah, what would this really look like? Like, are there some key things that if we were doing them would make a big difference? And that's what we're excited to get into, because I think there are some moments that if we target those, and it's given me then something to aim at. Mm-hmm. So it's really helped me over the last month even.
And that's what we're going to pack on the other side, 4 spiritual moments every marriage needs. And these are very doable. What I love about them as well is they can be, and they're meant to be unique to you as a couple. They'll look like you. There's just different choices you can make around under each of these spiritual moments. So we'll talk with Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley about that when we return. Just a reminder, we've got a stack of Smalley resources in studio here. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's a happy day. Talking to our good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, today at Focus on the Family. Got a stack of Smalley resources in studio with me. A couple copies of Aaron's amazing book, Grown Up Girlfriends. A copy of Gary Smalley's Great Parents, Lousy Lovers. And then Greg Smalley's Wholehearted Marriage. If you want in on the drawing, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you just want to be in the general drawing, say that. But if there's a particular book that draws your attention, include that, if you would, on the email. So we're talking, Greg and Aaron, about 4 spiritual moments every marriage needs. And you said before the break, Greg, this has really helped you have some direction about what spiritual leadership looks like, because it can be so obtuse and can be so stressful if you can't get your arms around it. And this is one way you found to do that. So take it from there, if you would.
Yeah, because when we say the word, you know, spiritual relationship or spiritual growth, there's so much that goes into that. That for me, again, my simple brain, just make this real easy. Give me a simple target to hit. And so we believe, number one, are what we would call daily discipline. So as I'm targeting something, I want daily to do something, to study the scriptures, to memorize a verse together, to, you know, listen to a sermon podcast, or to pray, or, you know, it's the disciplines that we need. It's an activity that we do for the purpose of cultivating spiritual growth between Aaron and I. So we know that God has called us to become more like his son. So our part of our job, you know, the sanctification is becoming more and more like Christ. And so that's one target for Aaron and I. What are we doing every day? And this is where I want to use the qualifier and just tell everybody, relax. You know what? This can be, one day might be that you guys have a verse that you're memorizing. One day might be that you're just laying in bed and you're praying together. You know, another day might be that you're just talking about, you know, what's something that God's been teaching you as of late. And so I'm terrible at leading like a quote unquote Devo. You know, there's some people that do that so well, and I hear the stories.
This is probably just sad, but I can just picture you going, squirrel. I mean, I'm sure.
Again, nothing against Devo. Nothing against.
No,
I mean, there
right.
There's some amazing daily
it's not
devotions.
Your thing. Yeah.
It's just, it's not. And yet, so here was my problem, though, Susie, is that I was justifying not doing something on a daily, regular basis with my wife under the guise of, that's just not my thing.
Hmm.
You know, you do Devos. That's great for you. That's not my thing. And where I was convicted was just going, you know what, how am I helping us grow more like Christ together? Aaron's got her own relationship with the Lord. I have my own, and we need to be doing things. But it's important, though, that she and I are doing something that's helping us grow more like Christ.
Wow.
And so just it became a, what might this look like then for us? How do we do this in a way that doesn't put such a yoke, like you talked about earlier, of such an unrealistic expectation? And that's why, you know, have a lot of grace here. But now I have a target. I want to be doing something every day, simple, something quick, that's helping Aaron and I cultivate a Christ likeness together.
What I love about that is it can be different every day. And again, Aaron, where it can go for us, and I've heard plenty of wives say this, is they hold up, again, an impossible expectation. Mm-hmm. And what husbands then constantly feel after that is disappointment, which is just lethal, I think, for husbands. Mm-hmm. What's it done for you, I mean, as far as you changing your paradigm and then being on the receiving end of just some spiritual connection every day?
You know, it's so important that we as wives are willing to give them grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just listening to Greg talk, I'm guaranteeing you that most men out there are carrying that, the guilt, the I'm not doing enough. And, you know, and so then, you know, do they really need our voice of criticism and, you know, coming down hard on them? You know, does that really help? And, you know, just the other night, Greg came home and we were sitting at dinner as a family, and he had heard about this Bible program online. And he pulled out his laptop and he said, hey, guys, he just totally said, you know, let's try to really watch one of these once a week as a family. And it was just the sweetest time. But I made sure last night, I said, hey, I just wanted to thank you for that. And taking the time just to appreciate and affirm what he did. Of course, there was a note on my vanity when I got home last night in the bathroom counter from Annie that said in her little broken written word, hey, we watched that last night. Why didn't we watch it tonight? And I was like, watch what?
Well, she gave it to me.
Well, somehow it made its way to
my
bathroom.
So I put it on your side.
So I was like, what did I do? I didn't do anything. But, you know, just to really encourage them when you see them doing something that really connects with your heart or you experience that, tell them, affirm them. You know, they long to hear these appreciative words from us, words of gratitude and affirmation from us as wives more than
anyone else in this world. Well, what an opportunity.
What you're speaking here is grace, Erin. And the thing is, we bend towards legalism so fast, we don't even know it. You know, and I think we approach God in the same way, where we have these standard and structures, and they have to look a certain way. And he's like, I just want to connect with you. And I think if we as husbands and wives can extend grace to each other and say, this isn't about legalism. This isn't about a 10-week Bible study done perfectly for 30-minute sessions every day. This is about, the goal is fruitfulness. The goal is faithfulness. And if we can kind of blow the smithereens, blow the, you know what I mean, blow these legalistic plans to smithereens and go, okay, let this be about this. And however we do it, it's going to be unique to us. Suddenly, it seems like the sky's the limit. Doesn't it feel like that, Greg?
It really does. Especially if your focus is on just let me choose just something little every day, you know, read a verse, you know, listen to a podcast, fast, you know, pray together, you know, if focusonthefamily.com under the marriage, we have a whole thing growing together spiritually that gives you some devotionals. So, I mean, pick a devotional, you know, listen to praise and worship music. So I think all of that done to where it's just, you know, I'm targeting now something really simple. And the point is, the impact is that now we are growing together. And that is so critical for a marriage.
And God is for you. And that's the other thing. I mean, to bring in the spiritual component to this, as far as what you're doing by refusing the legalism, but also rejecting the idea that since I can't do it a certain way, I'm not going to do it at all. But you find a way that works for you. God's spirit is with you. And as you, Greg, lead your family, I feel like he's activating something in you and in your family. I mean, there is, he moves on our faith. So there's some, this isn't without consequence, is what I'm saying, is as you're depositing seeds into the soil of your family's life, it's going to bear fruit over time, you know?
It really does. And just that's where I have to give myself grace. So as guys, you know what, if you miss a night, you know what, pick it up the next night, pick it up two nights later. I mean, just target going, I want to do something small that's focused on the Lord every day, have this conversation, do whatever this discipline is with my wife, obviously as a family as well. But it is crucial. When Erin thanked me the other day, it was so funny. As she said, we were laying in bed, and for her to do that, it almost made me laugh, because I felt like a dog who had just been petted on the head and given like a piece of bacon, you know. A snossage or whatever the snack, the dog snacks are. You know, I mean, I was like, my tongue was wagging, and it's so funny how I'm just so drawn to that when she does that.
You're good at that, Erin. Talking to Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley today about four spiritual moments every marriage needs. These are so doable. When we come back, we're going to talk about weekly fellowship. We talk daily disciplines. Next, we'll talk about weekly fellowship and the importance of that. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have our good friends Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley on the program today. They join us about once a month, actually twice a month, but I haven't seen them in a month, so this has been so fun. We're talking about four spiritual moments every marriage needs. And we opened the show by Greg was sharing just how the pressure to be a godly leader and what that looks like. And just by adapting these four moments into their everyday life has taken so much of the pressure off, and it's really bore fruit in their lives. So we spent the first segment talking about daily disciplines, and they can be different every day. Praying together, watching a podcast, listening to a sermon, fasting together, reading a devotional, but letting it fit who you are. So, Erin and Greg, now let's talk weekly fellowship. Erin, we'll start with you. This idea of spending time in fellowship with other believers, worshiping God together, growing in faith together. Talk about how that aspect of your faith life has impacted you.
It's been such a key for us over the years. I mean, from the very first year of our marriage, of being in, you know, a small group or a Sunday school class and just being with other believers and being intentional about talking about God, about spiritual matters and about how God's shown up in our life and, you know, what we're learning. And it just absolutely infuses our marriage with this, just this excitement about God. And, you know, between the two of us and with our friends and our small group right now, it's just been such a good season of being in a small group and studying books and God's word together and just having authentic, honest conversation. And really, it just encourages us. Hmm. It encourages everyone involved, including our marriage.
You know, Greg, I remember a time when you guys one night were ready to go to a group and you wanted to stay home. And I'm probably more bent towards like you that way as far as I'm homebody, love the solitude thing.
Exactly.
But you ended up going and it ended up being just a profound and powerful night with your group, just the discussion, the prayer, and even the conversation with Aaron on the way home. As someone who's more wired towards introvert tendencies or whatever, what talk about just what this, how this aspect, even if you've had to force yourself at times, what it's done in you and for you.
You know, what it does is that it injects Christian friendships into your marriage.
Mm, that's good.
And you can't do marriage alone. It takes, you know, someone once said, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a marriage, to keep a marriage healthy and vibrant. It means that we need to have people in our lives who are, you know, committed to wholesome play. I love, you know, me. I mean, I love to play. I love to laugh. Not too long ago, in our small group, Aaron and I had to leave pretty quick, but there was a train that stopped us. And so we're like, oh, we're late, and we left group early, but now we're stuck at this train. And so we noticed that this, it's a lone road, and so the only people traveling the road would be from, you know, fellow group members. And so we could see some headlights coming down the road. And so Aaron... she goes, let's sneak over to the side of the road and just hide.
Oh my
and when
goodness.
They come up behind the car to wait for the train, we'll rush their window and scare them. So sure enough. And so we bust out, you know, the ditch and run over and pound on the window, scared this couple to death. Well, I forget that the guy's a Colorado Ranger.
Oh, good
and
for
so
you.
As we were laughing, he said, hey, by the way, maybe you ought to think about doing that ever again. And he shows me, he's like, I had my gun ready to go.
Oh,
and I could have shot you.
Yeah.
So it would have been
that
my luck.
That would not have been wholesome play.
But, you know, we need to play. We need to have friends. We're laughing. We're enjoying. But we also need these friends in our life to build us up through encouragement. And that's why, you know, there's only twice in the Bible where we're told to do something every day. So one, we're told to take up our cross daily. And the other one is we're told to encourage one another daily. It's a tough world. We have struggles in our marriage, with our kids, with life at work, and we need these men and women, these fellow believers who are saying that we're here to encourage you. You know, we need community worship. We need to be growing spiritually and so it's these people in the way that they invest in our life that just your marriage won't, I shouldn't say won't survive, but don't allow your marriage to not have these kinds of people. And to understand, we need daily disciplines, but we need a community around us. And that's, we should target that every week. We should be doing something once a week, whether that's corporate worship, whether that's a small group, having a Bible study, you know, having a MOPS group, I mean, whatever it is, prayer meeting. I mean, it's an endless smorgasbord within a local church of opportunities. And as an introvert, yeah, that kind of scares me to think about it on a weekly basis. But I'm telling you, I really see the impact of what those groups, those men and women do in our life.
Wow. Aaron, what would you say to that person listening today who's thinking, you know, I've tried the group thing and it wasn't safe, or the, you know, I mean, it was just personality differences and they feel maybe more on the self-protective side. What would you say to them?
You know what I would say? Try again. Hmm. You know, every group is not the same.
Right.
And there's been groups that have worked for us and there has been groups that haven't.
I've been kicked out of groups. What does that tell you?
That's a problem.
They voted me right off the island.
That's right. Yeah. You know, so just keep trying, keep praying,
ask God to lead you to that group. And, you know, as easy it is to isolate our hearts off and to, you know, put the brick wall up with the barbed wire across, you know, the brick to guard our, not even guard our hearts, isolate our hearts off. You know what? Take that down. Ask the Lord to help you take it down and to step out in faith that there is a group that God has. He created us to be relational beings and to be in community with other believers. Trust him that he's got that for you. And so step out and meet him there.
Well, even and if to your point, if you've been hurt before, start your own. Pick the people, handpick the people. If it's one other couple, great. Do some mm-hmm. double dating. I mean, get that going. You don't go at this alone. We know when we've seen the animal shows, you know, to where the lions will always go after, you know, the sick, the infirmed, the alone stragglers. And we don't want our marriage to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a question that came in. How do you protect your group without being exclusive in a bad way? So, because you know how over time there's sort of an earned trust and you start to feel comfortable, and yet you don't want to be exclusive to the point where you're not open to new people coming in. How do you navigate that kind of dynamic?
I mean, I would say for the sake of the healthier marriage, it's okay to be exclusive. Start a dinner club. I mean, start a something to where if you want to include more people, then do something a little bit different, just mm-hmm. to where you guys are more centered on, you know, fellowship and play and laughter. And so start a dinner club or something mm-hmm. if that's what you need. But you need to have, I mean, Jesus, you know, he had the 12 disciples, but come on, he had John, he had Peter, he had that inner group and he protected that. And that in the 12 was not inclusive of everyone. I mean, he recognized that he was imparting that wisdom and knowledge to that group. And so that's what I'm saying. I think it's okay to be protective of that. This is about the health of your marriage. And if you want to have some other opportunities for bigger groups, then do that. Throw mm-hmm. a dinner party. There's other ways to do that than just being inclusive to everyone. Because I think if you do that, you're missing that core intimate fellowship that needs to happen.
Absolutely. And our little small group has met now for 3-4 years. And I know there's different modalities of small group formation and on that, you know, they switch over so often. And this group has been essential in our life and in our marriage for not only for us, but for others. And so we are going to start a supper club that we are going to be intentional about reading a specific book. I haven't told Greg about this yet.
I'm just hearing about this.
But it
as
is
an introvert. You know, that just made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. I'm going to be honest.
Well, I'm preparing you now.
We're going to throw this on the live radio.
We can ease into it.
Yeah, I love the idea.
And because I've made some new friends that I want that fellowship with as well. And when the other group, if it opens up and people leave or whatever, and they're, you know, we're ready to introduce some new, because it takes time to build that authentic trust in a group. And so if you have one that works, you know, stay with it.
Protect it.
Your pastor, Brady Boyd, who's been on plenty of times, says it takes a long time to make an old friend. I love that. Isn't that a good word? So, Aaron,
I told him that.
Did you? Really? Because he didn't quote
on it. I didn't want to say anything.
Okay. So, Aaron, can you think of a particular a book or what has worked for you? And you looked at some of your highlights of times in a group. Was it going through a nonfiction study, studying a particular book of the Bible, a video series? What just stands out to you? Any?
There has been so many, you know, different times we've watched video series. It's just a short video and it just stimulates conversation. As of late, we've been reading a lot of Mark Batterson's books.
Yeah, isn't he great?
I think we're on our second or third one in this group. And it has just been just so real and authentic and just a great conversation piece. But what we have seen the key to it all is to really set an example of being authentic and really sharing real life, not getting so, you know, so much head knowledge, but taking it to the heart level and really connecting with each other on that heart level.
Because this Aaron and I were laughing the other day because we're reading a book right now that I kind of, when they first suggested it, I rolled my eyes and went, oh, come on, really? Why are we going to read that? And And yet, last week, we had one of the richest, deepest, most intimate, real, authentic conversations in the book. Again, I don't think it would have mattered what we were reading. I think it was the willingness of people to say, you know what? Okay, here's what's really going on for me. Here's what's going on for me. And I think that that's the value, and that's the mm-hmm. opportunity. And so pick whatever you want. Trust that the Holy Spirit's going to show up and that authenticity is going to happen. That's to me, the key.
Right. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll cover the last two. Hopefully we can squeeze them both in. Annual Service Adventure and A Big, Hairy, Audacious Dream. Those are excellent. So we talked daily disciplines. We talked weekly fellowship. These are spiritual moments every marriage needs. When we come back, as I said, an annual service adventure. Love that. And A Big, Hairy, Audacious Dream. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. Don't go away. More great conversation with them in a moment. And also just to remind you, got a stack of Smalley resources in studio. If you want in on the drawing for one of these books, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address. And we'll be back in a moment.
So don't you be afraid of giants in your way. With God, you know that anything's possible. So step into the fight. He's right there by your side. The stones inside your head might be small, but watch the giants fall.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. In fact, we've got a stack of Smalley resources in studio today. If you want in on the drawing, email me for one of these books, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We've got Great Parents, Lousy Lovers, Grown Up Girlfriends, and Wholehearted Marriage. Email me and don't forget your mailing address. So we've been talking about four spiritual moments that every marriage needs, daily disciplines, just some connection point throughout, you know, during the day, a weekly fellowship where we gather with other believers and we're strengthened and shored up with other people. The next two we're going to squeeze in this last segment are Annual Service Adventure and Big, Hairy, Audacious Dream. Can't wait to talk about those. But first, we want to get an answer to Haley's question. She says, can you ask Dr. Greg and Aaron what they did when they were in a season of having really young kids, toddler age? It's more stressful to commit to a small group and take the kids, and babysitters are limited and so pricey. So we end up, one of us is going, in return, we don't grow as a couple in small group. What say you?
One word, Benadryl.
Okay.
Give
okay,
lots
let me quote you on that.
I'll answer
and
this one.
Right to sleep.
Okay. Except we had the kids that did the opposite with Benadryl, right. So it was great. You know, we've been there, and you know, we're in a different season now. But during that season, it was important that we either there's different ways to really accommodate that, and it's, you know, if you're in a group that others have the same age kids, you know, you can hire a sitter for all the kids together, or you can rotate someone out of the group, you know, so once a week someone's out watching the kids, and that way, you know, the other 3 weeks you're in the group, so it's not somebody missing out every single, you know, someone in your couple, your husband and wife, missing out on the group. You know, other times we were at churches where they offered, you know, time during Sunday morning. That was the best because we were at church. And so if we stayed an extra 2 hours, they had the kids, they had the childcare covered. And we were able to then meet with other couples and grow together.
Yeah. One of the young gals I'm mentoring, she says that once a month that all of the couples and their kids get together. And she says it's utter and total chaos, but we're doing life together and the kids are building relationships together. And we learn from each other and our parenting styles. But after that, we make a commitment for the other 3 weeks to get a sitter. And some meet just every other week, and that makes it a little more doable. Okay, let's jump into this one. Annual Service Adventure. This is a must-have, you say, a spiritual moment where we're spending time together and having an encounter with Christ in this kind of united vision to serve together. Say more, if you would.
Well, I think what any of us as believers, you know, if we want to inject life into our spiritual relationship, go on a mission trip, do some sort of service project unique, you know, for in serving the Lord. And that's the same for our marriage. There's something powerful when Aaron and I together go and invest in someone else. Maybe it's, you know, for some, they've served on a board together. You know, for others, they go on a mission trip. They, you know, go to the rec center and invest. You know, they go to an elderly home. I mean, there's so many options. But the point is what it does is it breathes life back into your marriage. I'm telling you, when you know, in Philippians 2:4 that talks about, you know, each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. When you get outside of yourself, when you do something, you know, to serve Christ together, it has a way of uniting and breathing life back into your marriage. So I'm telling you, if you feel like, man, we're just in a rut. Mm. So go bake cookies for the neighborhood and go give them out together. I mean, just watch what that does. It just has such a way of infusing just life. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how that works.
Kevin and I at our old neighborhood for about 5 years, every 6 weeks, we would go speak to kids in our community who committed their first crime. They had the option of either be going before the judge and having it on their record or going through a juvenile diversion program where it was a 10-week thing. And we always were like one of the weeks in that 10-week where we would go talk to them about the impact of their choices. And just hearing each other talk about the ripple effect and lessons learned and choices made, it did strengthen us so much. And it called us to a cause bigger than ourselves. It was very solidifying. Mm-hmm. Erin, I'd love for you to speak to that idea as well.
You know, it pushes you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And as a couple together, you have each other and you go on this little adventure. You can bring kids with you. You know, it just causes you to step out of that normal routine. Because in our lives, we get so set with, you know, this is what we do Monday through Friday. Annie asks me every single day when she gets in the car after school, what are we doing tonight? And, you know, it's the same. We're going home. We're going to eat dinner. And then, you know, we're going to go to soccer practice. And, you know, but what if I said to her, you know what, tonight we are going to take the neighbor lady dinner because she just had surgery. You know, and our entire family works together to create this meal and we walk it up the street. You know, Greg and I do this when we go and speak at events together. There's nothing more just God infusing into the center of our marriage when we minister on his behalf.
It intensifies your intimacy.
It does
it really does.
Each other and with God.
So good. Okay, I think we're going to get this. We're going to get these all in. Talk about the big, hairy, audacious dream. I mean, you're totally speaking my language now, but talk about this one, you guys.
You know, really what this is, it's time pursuing a shared dream for the future together. You know, we're looking off in the distance and going, what are we working toward together? What are we dreaming about? We both have desires, passions, you know, things we are just passionate about. And what is that together? What is it that we're looking forward to in the future?
And it has to be something that's bigger than you. It has to be something that's impossible unless God shows up. And so for some, it might be as simple as, you know, we want to lead a Bible study. Well, one of you might hate that idea and think I'm not equipped and I'm afraid to speak in front of others. And this is way beyond what I feel comfortable doing. When Erin and I pursue something that feels bold, audacious, impossible, and we do that together, what it does is it unifies us as a team. And that's what this is all about. You know, in Genesis 11:6, it talks about when the people are together. So in other words, they're unified and they're speaking the same language, then nothing for them is impossible. And there's power. When we married, we became one. And this is all about intensifying your oneness. It brings unity it's never about the end destination. It's not that, hey, we have this dream, and unless we accomplish the dream, then we are failed. It's recognizing that I need a spot on the horizon. We need a spot on the horizon to pursue. And the act of walking that thing out is what changes us.
You know,
the pursuit of something is what blesses you, not accomplishing it, although that's fun too.
Yeah, good word. And to quote Mark Batterson, since we were talking about him, you know, he talks about becoming a first-class noticer, where you, when you engage your faith, you start to all of a sudden look for the ways that God shows up. And here's a perfect example of when you engage in this big, hairy, audacious dream together as a couple, and as you say, Greg, that you're out there, unless God intervenes, you're kind of sunk, you become a first-class noticer. Suddenly you join together going, okay, here we go. And together you're looking for evidences of God's grace and provision and direction. And that just sort of ups the game in your faith, doesn't it, Erin?
It sure does. And it allows your marriage to be used to bless others.
That's right.
You know, and instead of focusing on, you know, our own issues or, you know, the limitations we have, why not look outside of your marriage and ask God, where is it that you want us? Where do you want us to bless someone, and how can you use us? You brought us together. You equipped us. You created us uniquely. Where do you want us to plug in? And it's super exciting to watch what God does and to become that noticer.
Tell me this. Is there one audacious dream that comes to your mind as you think about this spiritual moment in your marriage?
Absolutely. And of course, we've talked about it many of times on your show, Susie, but pursuing adopting Annie was such one of those big, hairy, audacious goals, because I had dreamt about a dream that I had had since I was a young child. And to do that together as a husband and a wife, and even to this day, parenting her now, seeing that we have 23-year-old down to Annie, who's 9, and we're dealing with all new issues. And it just is, it's just really something that is such a deep spiritual moment in our relationship, and such deep, sensitive place between us and God. It just unifies us and draws us closer together and closer to the Lord.
And you're also really honest in that story. And Greg, I'll have you speak to this. We've probably got a minute and a half before we pray here, but just to have you say just a word, that there are times when it's hard. There's going to be times of opposition and hardship, mm-hmm. but just because it's hard, just because you're opposed, doesn't mean it's not God. And yet, even that, you travail together, right, Greg?
It's true. Aaron has been reading this book about grit. And I
love
and
that
I
word.
It's a yes. great word, because as you pursue this big, hairy, audacious dream together as a couple, you will experience challenges. It's not easy because it should be something beyond you. Like a big, hairy, audacious dream is not something that we can easily accomplish on our own. It's not. It's unless God shows up, it's impossible. And that produces grit within a marriage. And grit is when grit is forged by conflict and fire and challenges. And now you're battle tested. Now you're one. You're a team. You get that, man, we can face anything because we've been pursuing this thing. And so as you have these daily disciplines, just look for something small that you guys can do every day. Just quick, a verse, you know, a prayer together, listen to praise and worship. You know, have a weekly time with Christian friends. Invest in that. They're the ones who will encourage you. They're the ones that at times will fight for your marriage.
You know, or have your annual service adventure and pursue those big, hairy, audacious dreams. And it'll be amazing how God shows up in your marriage.
Such practical, beautiful advice. Aaron, I wonder if you'd pray for that person listening today who feels like their marriage needs all of these things and they're wondering if their spouse would engage with them. Would you pray for that person?
Yes, Lord, we come before you, and I just ask, Jesus, that no one walks away from this broadcast discouraged, that they turn towards you, and you are the giver of these gifts, these moments, Jesus. And so I ask that hearts are encouraged, and that you're softening hearts and opening hearts, that as a spouse approaches, you know, their spouse when they return home tonight, that there's openness to, you know, what can we do? No judgment, no criticism, just what can we do? Grace and love given both ways equally. So, Lord, we thank you that you are the giver of life in our marriage, Jesus. You are your love, and that's what we share between us as we become one. Lord, we just thank you for this time. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. Aaron and Greg, I just love you. Thank you for this time today.
We love you as well. Yes. Thank you, Susie.
Awesome to be with you. Can't
Always.
Wait till next time.
And truly, I feel the same way. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, I've got this amazing book I got to talk to you about. Kelly Ballery, Fear Fighting, Awaken Courage to Overcome Your Fears. Oh, it's a gritty book, speaking of grit. So don't go away. Another great hour is up ahead. Hour 2 is up next.